Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 loyal faithful Twan Talk listeners. I am so excited. Today is Thriving Tuesday. Thriving Tuesday, family. I want to welcome you to the show. I apologize for being super late to the broadcast. It is snowing in upstate New York, and guess what? I awoke early this morning on my way back to town because I've been traveling, family, but I had to do the show today. So I pulled over in the once I got to town this morning in the uptown area and went downtown and took a lot of pictures. Excuse me. That I anticipate sharing today, not tomorrow, via Instagram and via Twitter, social media, shortly after this show, family. I'm going to upload those because it's snowing, family, in upstate New York, here where I record the show, record the podcast, in Binghamton, New York. I'm so excited! It is Tuesday, terrific Tuesday, and we are what, baby? We are thriving today, huh? We're not just surviving, we are thriving. If you just tuned in, it's your girl, Fat Family, and it feels so good. You guys are so fantastic. All the love you guys are giving me, you guys, like, DM me to check on me, and I appreciate that. So some of you just say hi. Some of you just put a smiley face. Some of you just say, how are you doing? How's your day going? Where are you traveling to? You know, some of you are a little bit nosy, you know what I'm saying? You know, and your girl is a private person, but it's all love, family. Honey, as I take my, I had to make me some warm lemonade this morning, and that's when you guys are watching me via video today, just because of time constraints, I opted not to record today's show. I may do a double header today, so if I do, it is my intention to record that, because a lot of you guys like watching the podcast via video, and that's fantastic. But today, episode 23 of Twan Talk Headlines, there is no video. Oh, I know. Don't beat me up. Don't crucify me like they did. Jesus at the cross. Sweet Jesus. Family, if you're just now tuning in, oh, I'm feeling good today. Can you tell your girl's feeling good? Oh, I love you. I love you, love you, love you. I miss you, miss you, miss you. I love you, love you, love you. Y'all should see me recording this podcast. Y'all, I'm dancing. I'm about to break out the Cabbage Patch, then the Running Man. Uh-oh, what y'all know about that? Then I may do the Kid and Play, or some of y'all, depending on your age, you may remember it as the Charleston. Honey, I'm in here getting it down, getting my dance on. All right, so I'm so excited. I'm excited, family. I'm excited about today. I'm excited about life. If you're just now tuning in, my name is Twan. I am the host and executive producer of this here international podcast, Twan Talk Headlines, hashtag Twan Talk Headlines, where we endeavor, it's a peaceful movement, family, the hashtag Make Jesus Famous, like the great psalmist and songwriter, Mr. Roy Fields and Melody of Level Fire Ministries out of Florida. They're great humanitarians, but his ministry, his purpose in life is to make Jesus famous. And I believe I shared with you on the previous podcast, I personally have never heard a Christian say those words. So last year, when I attended his powerful, powerful live recording of Stand Up, his live recording of his latest and greatest project, musical project, and he flew in people, and the ministry flew in people from around the world, musicians to participate that are experts in their field, and sensing the atmosphere and ushering in the presence of the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes, family, in order for us to receive a miracle as we worship God, as we serve God, as we honor God, the atmosphere must be set. The atmosphere must be right. Huh? Have you ever walked in a place and within your knowing, within in your consciousness, it didn't feel right, or it felt excellent. Or perhaps you did not want to leave because essence, the essence, the atmospheric energy was vibrating at a frequency so high that you wanted to stay there. You wanted to just get a cot, huh? Get a cot, get your hot chocolate, get your pillow, huh? And get a blanket and just set up shop there because of the atmosphere was so conducive to God's glory if you were at a worship service. Or maybe even a concert, huh? I love concerts. You guys know I love music. I used to manage a music artist. And I didn't want to necessarily, but he was like, oh, the Holy Spirit told me to have you be my manager. I was like, oh, God, I really don't want to do this. You know, I had no, you know, experience with that. But it was an experience, and I learned a lot of lessons as we traveled. But family, I just humbly submit that if you are in the music or entertainment industry, or even if you are like a motivational speaker or life coach or something, whatever you are passionate about, that you actually offer a service to the people and you depend on them for your livelihood, huh? I humbly submit you be mindful of your targeted demographic, of your fan base or your customer base. As doors begin to explode for you with the help of God, never forget those who are your day one, huh? The ones who were with you before the world knew your name, huh? Never forget, as you begin this journey and you perpetuate this journey towards your goals, towards your destiny, towards the realization and the natural manifestation at this dispensation in time, never forget the ones who helped you along the way, whether they be your devotees, meaning your fans, or folks who have the resources to usher in favor with God by opening up doors for you, huh? I always submit to you some of the best athletes, you'll find them in the city, in your local city, in your local rec. You'll find some of the best singers on a street corner. They may or may not be homeless. What is the difference between them and an Adele or a Beyonce, huh? Or Lamar Campbell or a Roy Field? Or Brickhaven. What is the difference between them and the person when they open up their mouth? Or like Inside Edition, they feature this man. I love Inside Edition. My girl, Deborah Norwood, I love Inside Edition. But Inside Edition, family, let's not digress. Really, stay with me here. Just you guys know how we do. This audition, a couple of months ago, they featured this man, and he was homeless, and I believe he was out of Florida, and he's a veteran, retired veteran, but he's homeless. And what they did was they did a makeover. Then they began their discovery process of speaking with him and making him anew. I think they put him up in a hotel or something after they cleaned him up. They discovered that he has a family and a son who he hasn't seen. You guys know I'm a big advocate of family, of fathers being fathers. In the 21st century, we have a mass falling away of fathers from the home, huh? And this is not well. And I will post up some statistics later and share some information later that my pastor shared a couple weeks ago. The Sunday sermon regarding one of the greatest threats to our society. It's not necessarily cancer. It's not necessarily drugs. It's fatherless homes, family. is father deprivation, huh? And there is a study that's out, and I will endeavor to find it. I will endeavor to find it and tweet it out, centering around how father deprivation affects men and women in life and society. Affects them, most of the time, it affects them being a productive member of society because they're so more susceptible to so many things, from mental illness to crime to you name it. And the source they have come down to is father deprivation. But I humbly submit to you, if you're like me and your father is no longer with you, whether you be a child or you be an adult, look to God. Look to God as your father. I was so depressed when my father died. I was so sad, family. Honestly, I think there's a video out here. I don't know which one it is currently. Of me, actually, when I recorded the podcast last week, I physically broke down in tears thinking about the loss of my loving father. He was not a perfect man, but he was perfect to me. He was an amazing man. He treated me like a princess. He was my hero, family. And I lost him at a young age. He died at 57. He had a drinking problem, unfortunately, and he succumbed to that. Though he tried to get help over the years, he succumbed, and he died of cirrhosis of the liver at 57, a young man. And his family, he was so gorgeous. You know, that was part of his problem. He was so gorgeous. He was a ladies' man. And my mom, honey, she wanted none of that. Well, he was very popular among the women because he had money, and he always carried cash on him. And he was good looking, and he smelled good, huh? And he had the swagger, family. He was a Gemini. He had the swagger, honey. My father, he was like full of swag. He was all swagged out. He was dope, huh? As the young kids like to say. And I like to use that word too, because it's just a cool word to use. But family, I'm not the only one who's lost a mother or a father. But some of us did not grow up with fathers in the home. And so, having said that, family, I encourage you, if your father has passed or you are in a single-parent household, your father has left the home for whatever reason, fathers, even if you leave the home, please don't leave your children. Their very life may depend on you having and cultivating a loving, healthy, nurturing relationship with them. Your very presence, your very essence is enough. Nothing, huh? Accept your responsibility and be there for your seed, your offspring, your legacy, their livelihood, their confidence level, their self-esteem, their self-worth, very well depends on it. Stay connected to your children. Things happen, life happens. Relationships are hard. Family, first of all, relationships are so hard because a lot of people don't want to do work, baby, huh? And, honey, you can speak to any of my exes. Honey, they know. I put in work in relationships. But guess what? Even though I don't have a lot of expectations in a relationship, because I just want to love you unconditionally, like God loves the church and how God commands us with that agape love, kind of that unconditional godly love, I put in work. I'm a good woman when I'm in a relationship. And I say I'm in a relationship because I'm single, huh? But I do desire companionship. But you can ask any of my exes, family, any of them, and they will tell you, I am a good woman. And I don't say that to be braggadocious, but family, a very confident in the virtuous woman in which God has created me to be. And I love catering to my man. I love catering to his needs. I love being there for him. I love encouraging him, affirming him, huh? Because that's the type of wife I'm going to be. So having said that, when I date guys, some of them may have children, some of them may not. Life happens, family. Life is not fair. And quite frankly, sometimes relationships, unfortunately, do not work out because people don't want to put in the work. Don't get in relationships, family. If you're not willing to work, go to work, baby. I mean, work it. What they say, they got a song out. You know you're perfect the way you work it, honey. Huh? Who sing that, somebody? Young people, who sing that? Is that Jason Derulo? I don't know. But I'm just saying, relationships take a lot of work. And then things fall apart sometimes because of finances. Try to be as physically and financially responsible in relationships and single people. Since I'm single, I'm speaking with you to you right now. You're single. Make sure your credit's straight. Is it all possible? Try not to go into a relationship, into a marriage, especially if you meet your partner, your helpmate, the one you want to spend the rest of your life with. Try to make your lot, if possible, easier on your husband, women, on your wives, men, your future wives, your future fiance, huh? Your future helpmate, by eliminating as much debt as possible and having a healthy debt-income ratio, regardless of your income, family. I used to date a millionaire, and you know what he told me? He was so cool and down to earth, but I learned a lot about from him. And he was so humble and so sweet. And he actually introduced me to God. When I dedicated my life back to Christ in September of 1998, he was very instrumental because he was a minister in his church. And even though our relationship, it was probably not appropriate, it wasn't appropriate, family. I'll put it out there like that. He was the sweetest man and the best man that I've ever known. And the thing about it is, even though he was a millionaire and very successful, and his family was very successful, he didn't act like it. But he began to teach me about finances and things like that. And he encouraged me to go back to school and my education. And you know, I was driving a BMW at the time. I had bought it on my own. He helped me pay that off. He was like, you don't need a car payment. You have this brand new vehicle, but you're going back to school and you're working. You know, it's best that you not have a whole bunch of debt so you can focus on your grades and your education. So he helped me pay off my BMW. And I thank God for that. But he taught me a lot about finances, family. He taught me a lot about life and social skills because he was a people person. He was very humanitarian. He did stuff, and he was well known in his town in North Carolina, but he did stuff without, like, calling the media. And, I mean, he was pretty big time. But he did stuff, and he supported colleges, and he supported performing arts. And he looked like John Travolta. As a matter of fact, he actually, before he went to school, went to college, he actually took a year off to try to go to Hollywood and try to make it as an actor and had his comp cards and headshots. But the thing about it is he had a resemblance to this guy who was really, really big at the time by the name of John Travolta. They have the same eyes, same look. And so in Hollywood, family, they really don't like duplicates. And sometimes it's most unfortunate when you sort of look like someone or similar to a well-known actor or actress because Hollywood doesn't want to give you a shot because they already have a carbon copy. Like when I went to Paris and I was trying to model and things like that, they told me, well, we already have a black girl who looks like you. Honestly, that's what they told me. So So we can't have too many, first of all, we can't have too many black girls in the show. This is what I was told by agencies, region agencies. And then we already cast a black girl who looks like you. So I'm so sorry. I would love to put you on the show, but we can't do it. We have enough black girls, or we already have a black girl who looks like you. Every agency over there whose door I knocked on said we already have one or two black girls for the show, or we already just cast a black girl who looked like you. Oh, a few hours ago, we went on ahead and cast a beautiful black woman who looks like you. So we can't have you on the show because we'll have two black girls who look alike. She was really crazy. You know, the racism, really, that's in the entertainment industry still in the 21st century. You know, I used to want to be a model, but I'm only 5'7.5", so back then I was too short. But you look at today, and even though Kate Moss was big at the time when I was trying to model, and she's 5'7", and I'm only 5'7.5", but that's short for a model. But I have very long legs and a short torso, so I was able to model in high school and make money in college and things like that and be in a few feature films. But I decided to focus on my education because, number one, there's a dark side to the entertainment industry that I'm not going to get into here, but there's also a very racist side as well. That's why I like George Lucas, directors like George Lucas, Steven Spielberg, he has kids who he adopted of all different nationalities. Look at Angelina Jolie, you know? Look at a whole bunch of other fantastic people, celebrities that you know. And I'm speaking of celebrities because this is a celebrity-obsessed culture that we live in here in America and around the world. People would rather be a famous reality star or a famous actor or actress or model than a neurosurgeon, than a physicist. Than a nuclear physicist. Excuse me. Go bigger. Teachers, police officers, servicemen and women, they're some of the most altruistic, brave heroes in the world. And there are some people who endeavor to pursue those professions. But when they think of rock stars in the world, when they think of superstars, they think of celebrities. Well, now that we've gotten it twisted, family. But it's neither here nor there. But I'm just saying that when I went to Paris, and actually someone gifted me with a trip to Paris because I had always wanted to do that and go there. And, you know, I just, you know, it's just part of that international anointing. And the Parisian people, you are talking about some friendly people. Because I had taken a tutorial to learn the language, because I took Spanish in high school, and I went to Paris when I was very young. When they saw that I was trying to speak their language, because most Parisians, they know English. Now, whether they choose to speak it or not is a different story. Most of them know Portuguese or Spanish because of their bloodline. Because of their culture. So having said that, the Parisian people, yeah, they were just amazing. They were fantastic. They were just so nice, so, oh my gosh, so loving to me. And I actually went to Paris by myself. But when I got there, I was not alone. I made so many Parisian friends. It was so fantastic. I love Paris. That's why when headlines concerning devastation or terrorism with Paris, they bother me because I've been on that soil. I've loved all those people. Those people have loved on me. They've embraced me. You know, I stayed near Chateau d'Estaing at a hotel in Chateau d'Estaing. And it was so funny. I fell in favor with the hotel owner that they had one TV in the breakfast area, right? And so he offered to bring the TV to my room, you know what I mean, or have the staff bring the TV to my room. Because even at a young age, I had the favor of God. And I told the hotel manager or owner, I said, no, I said, I'm sure your other patrons need with Black TV. I don't even really watch it. Even at a young age, I wasn't like a really big TV person. I'm even less more of a TV person now because I'd rather read or socialize or interact with people or live, go out, take pictures, explore life, huh? So having said that, family, the Parisian people, they were not necessarily racist, but there's an element of racism in the modeling industry, especially with different cultures, minorities, women of color, be it Asian, Latino, Black American, African American, huh? And it's also in the entertainment industry. But it's getting better. I believe it's getting better for my day, right? And so I pray that it gets better. Because after I left Paris, I no longer wanted to be a model. I wanted to pursue my education. Because I was so judged by my skin color. And I was already used to, because of the ghosties and things like that, that I would go on in the States, was always, you know, also used to hearing rejection, hearing no, no, no. No, 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 you're too black, you're too dark, you're too fat. And I would be like a 2, at my minimum weight, I'd be a size 2. But very thick. And at my heaviest weight, I'd be a 3, 3, 4. But in the modeling industry, sometimes I would go to ghosties for different things that my agent would send me on, and they would say, you're too overweight. You're fat. I'm like a 3, 4, and I was fat. I'm a size 2, and I was too fat. Most of the parties I went to, I was the only one eating craft services. Craft services is just like free food, basically, when you show up on a set somewhere. I'm the only one eating. Everyone else is either smoking their disgusting cigarettes, or they were eating, you know, Tic Tacs or whatever, you know. And they just needed to really eat because I'm sure they were hungry. But I had a fast metabolism, and you guys know, you look at my Instagram account, you look at my Twitter account, you guys know I love food, baby, huh? I've always loved food. So they would look at me like I was a science experiment when I would be at these parties behind the scenes with these photographers and these rap parties and things like that, where a lot of debauchery went on. A lot of Sodom and Gomorrah would go on, and a lot of preying on new talent goes on there by people in the industry who have no absolute power. Or if they do have power, they abuse it. And they betray their families at home, their wives and their husbands at home, because of their lust, because of their lower nature. And so they sleep with extras and things like that. And their wives, they have no idea, their husbands have no idea what's going on. I mean, it was just a lot of debauchery going on. And I may be mispronouncing that word, debauchery, debauchery, whatever. You know, I'm from the South, so we roll our words towards the kids. You know, a lot of drugs in industry, parties, family. Talking about stuff I've seen, not stuff I've read. I'm not going to put any celebrities on blast or any people on blast. I personally have never done drugs. When Nancy Reagan had that campaign when I was a kid, and it was just like, say no to drugs, or just say no, like, I just said no. But a lot of people do not have that testimony. And sometimes, family, unfortunately, drugs is, or pills, prescription pills, they can be an appetite suppressant, or they could be a meal to someone who's trying to manage their weight to get this job. We have about 10 seconds left in the last broadcast. I don't even know why I'm talking about this. But somebody needs to hear this. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to get to headlines. We're going to get to prayer, to Brother Richmond's prayer. But I want to thank you so much for tuning in as we go into the overdrive portion now of the podcast. Someone needs to hear this, family, that, you know, if you are in a profession, especially if it relies on your looks, and you are told that you're too this or you're too that, you're too dark, you're too black, you're too white, you're too Latino, you're too this, huh? Don't believe it. You're beautiful. Just as you are, you're very beautiful. So if you really want to pursue that particular career, especially if it's in the entertainment industry, you have to develop tough skin. That was one of my problems. I did not, at a young age, have tough skin. And so when I came back to the States, I no longer wanted to be a model because of the racism I had been exposed to. Like, it was just in-your-face racism. There's nothing I could do to change what they needed me to change. I could not make myself lighter. I could not make myself non-brown. And it affected me. So I decided to focus on my education. And I pursued jobs in corporate America. You know? And that's what I did. And I tried to seek out my true purpose in life, my destiny. It was not meant for me to be a model or what have you. It was not meant, because had it been meant, it would have been. And I thank God that some of the doors that were supposed to open for me did not open, or I did not accept, because I would have really had to compromise myself. And I may not have discovered our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the midst of it all. So, having said that, family, we are most definitely going to go into a doubleheader. I'm going to shut this down shortly before Blog Talk kicks us out of here, shuts off the lights on us. But I want you to be encouraged today, not to give up. If you are an entrepreneur, you have an entrepreneurial spirit, don't give up. Persevere. If someone will not open up a door for you, believe God for wisdom, know-how, and the expertise to execute your own business plan. With the favor of God, and believe God that He will give you favor with people who want to help you along your journey, just like someone helped them. Every successful person, I humbly submit to you, every successful person in life, they did not get there by themselves. God gave them favor with someone who helped them along the way. They could be the most charismatic person. You can be the most capable person. But if someone doesn't believe in you, and if God doesn't move on someone's heart to open up the door for you and give you a chance, it doesn't matter. As you continue on, and as we perpetuate this journey of discovering our purpose, huh? First of all, be kind to one another. The same people you meet on your way up will be the same people you meet on your way down. So first of all, let's practice kindness. Let's practice an attitude of gratitude, the golden rule. Let's treat others how we want to be treated, family. And a lot of you do that. A lot of my listeners, you guys do that. And you do this. The golden rule is in the Bible. And basically that principle is not necessarily a Christian principle, because you will find that principle of the golden rule in a lot of religions, in a lot of philosophy. They may call it something different, but it's basically the same. Let's be mindful to be kind to one another. We only have one planet, one race, and that's the human race. But we come in so many shades and colors. And no one can change their culture. No one can change the color of their skin. And unfortunately, some of us who experience racism, discrimination. But it's so crazy because it's for the one thing in which we cannot change, you know? I was sharing with someone earlier today when I was out taking pictures and they mentioned what's going on with Tamir Rice, the injustice, and it was a Caucasian man. He was downtown here in upstate Binghamton. And he said, oh, are you taking pictures? I said, yeah. And he was letting me know about a little bit more about the city, and I let him know I had gone on a tour of the city with one of my friends whose wife is a professor, whose husband is a professor at Binghamton University of Anthropology, and she's a real estate executive. And we do things from time to time, and one of the things that we did last year was go on a tour of Binghamton, which I appreciated because it goes over the history of this city, and I've only been here for roughly 2 years. But he was speaking of the injustice that's going on with Tamir Rice, and I'm going to speak about it coming up in the next doubleheader. And he called it racism, and he's Caucasian, and I'm, of course, Black American. He said, I didn't. And he began to tell me of a lot of his friends of color who he loved and who are so kind to him, and some are no longer with him, and he misses them and their friendship. You know, he's sort of like, he looked like an elderly man, but he has, like, very, very gorgeous eyes. Very, very, like, piercing blue eyes. He may have been an angel. I don't know. Never seen him before. He had a fresh haircut, but these piercing blue eyes. Maybe he was an angel fit to protect me, because I'm up at 6-something in the morning taking pictures of downtown Binghamton by myself coming into town. For you, though, because I love you, and I find beauty in nature, and I want to upload these pictures of snow and buildings and architecture and history here. Binghamton has a rich history, family. Have you ever heard of Twilight Zone? The guy who created the Twilight Zone, he actually is from Binghamton, huh? FYI. He's Binghamton's native son. There's so much history here in Binghamton. So having said that, he called it racism. I did not call it racism. But I did share with him a story of what happened to me last year. Last year, I had taken, like, public transportation somewhere. And I was called an N-word, B-I-T-C-H, by one of the riders, and the bus driver did absolutely nothing. It was an ugly episode, and I remained silent, and I remained peaceful, and I think I was going to the hospital because I had an upcoming surgery, and so it was easier for me to get there via bus. So having said that, I could not believe it. And I told the man that I was praying for him. But his vitriol and his racist hate, and the man had to have been about 70 years old. And in that moment of great racism, as he's calling me an N-word, B-I-T-C-H, and the other patrons, and the other riders are like looking like, oh my gosh. And even one of the other passengers who got off at the same bus stop as this man, because the passenger was a nurse and he was on his way to work, and I guess he just takes the bus to commute. When he got off close to Binghamton General and the man got off, I saw him having words as the with the man who had, like, verbally attacked me for no reason. And the passenger was also Caucasian. And he gave me his number so he could check on me and he could check in with me to make sure I'm okay. He said it's not right later on in our discussion. But I saw him as the bus prepared to pull off. He, the nurse, the male nurse, had words with this gentleman, this racist old man who had to be about 70 years old. And he said that because he couldn't find a job, it was N-word, it was niggers' fault that he could not find a job, and he's tired of niggers and things like that. And he called me a nigger bitch and all this. It was just, oh my gosh. It was, that man has never experienced anything like that. When I got to my appointment, pre-surgery appointment, I collapsed in the lobby. And the head of the particular medical office, the administrator, they sent her to see about me because I could not talk. But while I was under attack on the bus, I remained silent. And I prayed. And I said, please, please don't do this. It's your ego that's driving you. As I spoke to the bus driver, and as I spoke to the passenger, I said, please don't do this. It's your ego. Please. And I said, God bless you. And I remained silent. And some of the people who I had a privilege of being in contact with after this happened, they said, I don't understand how you remain so calm. I said, it's because I am a Christian. I can't react to this because I know it's the spirit. And I don't want to do anything, number one, that's going to cause harm to myself, honor God. And unfortunately, family, we as Black Americans were told at a young age, we're warned about things like this. I had never experienced direct racism like I did on a city bus. And the bus driver, he did not come to my defense. The passengers did. As I remained silent after saying, please don't do this, and asking God to forgive them and saying, God bless you, which only aggravated that demonic force that was just calling me. I was called the nigger bitch about 10 or 20 times on that bus. And it was a short trip by this passenger. And the bus driver did absolutely nothing. But he did apologize to a Caucasian woman who got off the bus. The bus driver never apologized to me. And this happened in the city of Binghamton last year. And you check my Twitter timeline, I talk about it briefly. But we as African Americans were told from a young age that things like this, incidents like this will occur. And we are to remain calm and not add fuel to the fire. Because, family, we could lose our lives. Caucasian people and people who are not of color, you have no idea what it's like to be a Black American. Is living in a racist world. You may not be racist, but your neighbor or your best friend or your coworker may be. We look at headlines, see what happens when a peaceful African American or a peaceful Black American is targeted or profiled for no other reason than the color of their skin, the color of our skin. And we see what happens. Even when we remain peaceful, we could lose our life. But if we try to stand up for ourselves, like Eric Garner, you know, in a city, if we try to stand up for ourselves, we most definitely will lose our life. And it's all because of racism, discrimination, and the color of our skin that still exists